May we be helped to commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 320 to the tune Walden 259. God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. In 320, June Walden, 259.
Amen. Lord be pleased to help us to read together from his holy word in the book of the prophet Hosea and read chapters 13 and 14. The book of the prophet Hosea, the last two chapters, chapters 13 and 14. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made their molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of it, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me. For there is no Saviour beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their hearts was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore will I be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and I will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee, in whom in all thy cities, and thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes? I gave thee a king in mine anger, and took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is hid. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Though he be fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and this spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall spoil the treasure of all pleasant vessels. Samaria shall be come desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the deer unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what are I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. May God's own blessing rest upon the reading of his holy word, and may help us and teach us to pray. O thou most gracious and ever merciful Lord God Almighty, thou art that high and lofty one that inhabitest eternity. Heaven is thy throne and earth is thy footstool, and we are but poor sinful worms of this earth, so prone to wander and to be under the power of our sins. Be in that spirit that we have read of forgetfulness, for the abundance of our mercies that we have at thy good hand, and yet forgetting the giver of every one of them. Oh, what wretched, helpless worms we are before thee, and those in thine eye dost behold and search out and see all that is amiss within us. Oh, in mercy look upon us, we pray thee, as we are spared to this evening time of the day of the week that we come into, and so this time of worship here, we pray thee. Oh, may it be a gathering that is unto thee, most gracious Lord, and of thy divine appointment to us, to come around thy word together, us gathering in thy house here, and those that may listen in at home also. Oh, may the gathering, O Lord, be unto thee, but may it be who art thou who art in our midst, we pray, as thy own word declares, that thou art in the midst of those that gather in thy name. O Lord, our unseen yet ever present one, O the almighty God of heaven and of earth, O do reveal thyself, Lord Jesus, in the power of thy Spirit this evening, and reveal thyself as one in the midst, we pray thee, that those blessings of restoring and healing might be felt and known, and thee, the great restorer of souls, might reveal thyself with thy power, bringing us in humility to thy feet, in humble acknowledgement of our sin, and confession of our own hearts that have gone astray. Oh, they see us all that is within us, and the iniquities that abound, and their own natural spirit and mind that is afar off, and has no desire for thee and the things of thy word, no thought or care for eternity, but only for the present. Oh, we do pray for that clean heart and right spirit which thou alone canst give. May it be created in us, we pray thee, of thee. Oh, may that help that we have read of be in thee, O Lord, and of thee, as we come before thee. And may there be that which thou hast put in our hearts of thy great mercy, O Lord, brings us in a way hungering and thirsting for the blessings of love and mercy, the renewing of thy presence, that reviving of the parched ground. And as thou hast sent the showers in the earth, to send the showers of thy Spirit into our souls. For there is saying thy word, there shall be showers of blessings. So dear Lord, do bring those showers, we pray, into our souls from above. And so may thy word distill as the dew upon us. O Lord, may it be that light and power from thee. And so, Lord, in mercy receive us graciously. We come with nothing to boast of ourselves, but all only to confess of our unfitness and unworthiness. Our own spirit that wandereth hither and thither. That may we come looking unto thee, Lord Jesus, longing after thee, in that desire of those in thy word, that we would see and know thee, Lord Jesus, we pray thee. Behold thee as one present with us and one who goes before us in our life's pathway, making it the crooked things straight, the rough places plain, bringing about, O Lord, thine overruling power in providence and in grace, we pray thee. As the beauty of him is expressed, O Lord, thy mysterious ways, thy wondrous works, thou art upon thy throne to govern all things and do all things according to thy will, under that great mercy of thy power. Oh, may it be a power to save us this evening. We only deserve it to be a power to destroy us, to mark our iniquities, to cast us off forever, to bring us under that eternal curse and condemnation of thine own broken law that we have so basely rejected and turned from him broken and cast and trodden under our feet. But oh, in thy mercies do bring thy restoring, we pray thee. Do make then that loving of us freely, we do beseech of thee. Only through these things, O Lord, can we find that hope in thy mercy. And view thee, Lord Jesus, upon thy heavenly throne, where thou ever livest to make intercession for all that come unto God by thee. Oh, may it be thee, Lord Jesus, who is seen there instead of us, as we now seek to approach unto thee in this new and living way. Oh, may there be a gracious boldness in our hearts to flee those wonders that thou art, Lord Jesus, and having accomplished all things in the earth concerning righteousness and salvation, you know, was borne the condemnation of sin in thy death, has swallowed up the things of death in thy victory, has taken that sting out of death itself, has appointed a rich blessing forever, a ransom of us from the grave. Oh, may that sweetly be revealed to us in a personal way. That debt that we have heaped up and must fall under eternally, thou hast paid. And through it thou hast set us free. And in that which thou hast set us free in, we are so bound and joined to thee in love. And to know thee more, to walk in thy fear, and to honour and glorify thy great and holy name. So we come in that desire this evening that in all things thou wouldst have the preeminence. That thy name be glorified, lifted on high, be exalted in our hearts as it is exalted in thy word. May it be so also in our lives, we pray, our profession. And may there be that witness of light in our hearts and lives amongst the things of darkness in the earth. And may thy church and people here be that light that shines in their lives as they walk humbly before the Lord. Abundantly bless the gospel of thy grace as thy labouring servants minister in the word here, we pray thee. Send out thy light and truth in thy word, we do beseech of thee, that is read also. Give help to our brethren here that bear office and be a strength for them in that pathway, giving help and wisdom to deal with all things wisely in thy fear. And thy servant ministering also to be blessed in his many labours. And our friend that remains here to continue, be a strength for him in that pathway, we pray thee. And in this season when we think of arrangements for another year, if it is thy will in the ministry, do give that guiding hand of wisdom, we pray, both in what is sent forth and what is answered in, O Lord, and what is done in thy holy fear. Oh, surely we have provoked thy wrath and anger, and thy spirit is so greatly grieved. We do pray that deliverance from the grieving of thy spirit, that you may so graciously move and enlighten us in all that we grieve thee in, that we should not further sink lower and lower, we pray thee. That you brought to humble repentance and godly sorrow, that those many sighs and cries may yet be heard of thee, and the more cries yet may be brought forth, we pray thee, of sorrowing hearts over our sins and after thee. O Lord, there was a rise in thy mercies and return to thy Zion, we pray thee. O bless each in the gathering here, do grant them to find that manna from thy word in the preaching of it, the reading of it, the singing of the hymns together, the praying of prayers before thee. Oh, may they feel it is thy house, the house of prayer for all people, where access and liberty is given in and through thy name, Lord Jesus. That thou dost reveal thyself as one present in the midst, as upon the throne of God in heaven to intercede. and want to bear our causes before the Father, Lord, to plead for us all thou art and hast done, would ever do so as that ever living Saviour. You, Lord, then do reveal thyself abundantly here, we pray thee. And bless each soul that gathers in, and to the families and the little ones and children, preserve and keep them in a dark and evil day from the many temptations and the forces of evil against that which is right. Bless them with thy love and tender fear, and those who grow up into their lives to help them in going forth in that pathway appointed. Make those provisions for them with thy good hand is upon them. And so be a strength for each who bear the burdens and cares in their lives, we pray thee. But then we feel those cares are truly cast upon thee. And when in weakness and afflictions pathway give strength and upholding mercies, we pray thee that strength equal to the day that each of us need, especially to those who are afflicted and brought low, and that healeth, we pray thee, and restoreth, and the healing of the breaches, we pray thee, that bringing back of wandering ones to be returning ones, awakening others to yet turn to thee, we pray thee, to gather here and worship thee. Oh, to send out thy light and truth in this our dark day, we pray thee. Oh, in thy mercy appear and revive thy work if it could please thee. Leave us not to diminish and to become lower and lower, we pray thee, may much laying it to heart. Oh Lord, may it please thee to revive thy work. Oh, not for our sakes, but for thy sake. For with Moses of old we would humbly plead, what shall become of thy great and holy name? The wonders that we have of it in thy word, the witness, the truth that it declares, thy word. And yet where is that great and holy name of thine in this our day, and the glorious power of the gospel, and the mighty work of the Spirit in the soul? Now do strengthen the things that remain, we pray thee. And make known thy blessing in pouring forth thy Spirit from on high. Encourage thy trembling people who fear, O Lord, lest they have gone astray or mistaken the way. O Lord, renew their evidences, we pray thee. Bring forth thy blessing. Give thy quickening influence and power and raise the dead to life. Bring sinners to repentance, we do beseech of thee. May there be a pouring out of souls before thee. And that which we each need, that much entering into our closets to plead with thee in secret, to acknowledge our sins and our own spirit, to confess all iniquity before thee, to plead with thee, to be gracious to us yet, we pray thee. Thou art gracious in sparing us thus far, and thy long-suffering mercies are so evident and lengthened out toward us. Oh, we do pray not to be careless in these, but to be humble before thee, and given that more concern, O Lord, in thy rich blessing to appear. O shine forth yet, we pray, in this our dark day, we do beseech of thee, and bring those times of refreshing from thy presence. Enlighten yet the peoples of our nation to their great need of thee, the Lord God of their mercies. There's many benefits and privileges that we have in our times when they are only taken for granted and looked upon as what they are deserved and have a right to them, when they are thy benefits and privileges, and oh, do yet touch many hearts through them, and much more to see the poverty of our soul and spirit and the need of thy rich grace, Lord Jesus, thy saving love and tender mercy. Oh, thou alone canst use these things mightily if it could please thee. But above all, thine own holy word of truth that thou hast placed in our midst. Oh, bring many with a heart to long for its blessing, to seek the God of the word, we pray thee. Do not stumble any more at thine own word that separates us from evil things and causes us to cleave unto thee. Lord, see such a great power in it. Feels the life in it. Oh, so make known a blessing through thy word, we pray thee. Shine forth in the gospel ministry and bless thy servants who minister. Send forth labourers more to preach the everlasting gospel. Thou alone dost declare, Lord Jesus, the harvest is great, the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. So it is thy harvest, Lord Jesus, to give us the right labouring in it, and to thy praise, honour and glory, that souls may be saved, we do beseech of thee. Oh, thy name be glorified. as there might be the building of the walls of Zion, we do beseech of thee. Now graciously influence those in authority over us, yet we pray, and turn their hearts to thee. Give them hearts to pray for themselves and for the need of our nation, we pray thee. And to forsake the ways of our sins and of our iniquities. Lord, do shine where thy people are, and visit them with thy great salvation. Speak mightily into their hearts and souls. Oh, give that light in thy word this evening as we gather around it. Oh Lord, do give us a heart of humble thankfulness and gratitude for all thy kindness and long-suffering and gracious mercy. That thou art a God in heaven above that does hear and answer prayer. And thus we plead to answer our cry still. Outdo the poverty of them in the abounding of thy grace. Open our eyes to see those wondrous things out of thy law. At that leading of thy Holy Spirit into thy word. May he once more be our teacher and our remembrancer. That in all things thy name is glorified, Lord Jesus. Thus we seek thy blessing in the hymns that we sing. That they may renown to thy glory and honour. And the cries in them be graciously answered. And thy name be lifted on high. Oh, be merciful to us in all things, we pray thee. Do make up together one fails to ask, and do richly bless each soul, we pray thee. Making known that gracious need of a forgiveness of sin, do pronounce it to be even so. Oh, thy sins are all forgiven thee. We ask, Lord Jesus. Amen.
May we be helped to continue by singing together hymn number 6. Hymn number 6, June Mayford, 367. God's ways are just, his counsels wise. No darkness can prevent his eyes, no thought can fly, nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. He in the thick darkness dwells, performs his works, the cause conceals, though his methods are unknown, judgment and truth support his throne. Hymn number 6, June Mayford, 367.
shall be pleased to help you this evening. I seek to direct your prayerful attention to a subject you'll find in the book of the prophet Hosea. And in chapter 13, we'll read together verse 14. The book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 13, and then reading the 14th verse. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So reading verse 14 in chapter 13 of Hosea's prophecy. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Much that the prophet has to speak is the solemn warnings to them of the Lord's pending judgment, and that this name of Ephraim, or the 10 tribes of the children of Israel, who like unto Judah had come into that time of sinfulness, and the Lord's hand was upon them yet to send them into captivity. But here he speaks in this way of his restoring mercy, and especially in that following chapter, that great call of the Lord to his Israel, that they should return to the Lord their God. He contends with them in this chapter concerning their idolatry, and these truths are not left us on record of a history for us to look upon and forget, but to realize the Lord sees our hearts, that where they are not right before the Lord, they also are in the idolatrous condition. In all that comes before the Lord our God in our life, in every aspect of it, then it becomes an idol. And God will cast it down and cast it out, for we are the Lord's people. If it is not so, we must be destroyed under the condemnation of God forever because of it. And our own spirit then is a natural idolater. A spirit then that wants its own way, its own thought, and does not want to listen to another, especially Almighty God. But he who speaks lovingly here tells this people, yet I am the Lord thy God. That though there was such a great forgetfulness, even through the good things that God had given them in the way of their own land and place to live, freedom from their enemies, all the while they walked in God's fear. But oh, how he reminds them again and again that he is the Lord their God, the Almighty One. That one like there is none other, especially of course had shown such great wonders in that historical deliverance from Egypt and many deliverances since, all of them again and again showing the almighty power of God, that there is none like him. And yet how slow and indifferent our hearts are to bow before him in such power and such majesty, and thinking that the things of our hearts are not known to him, and we can disregard all that speaks of God. And with the wicked one say, then where is then God? Where is thy God? Where is this God? Oh, but this is he who shows that he knows every matter, and declares himself again to be the only God. For there is no saviour beside me, no way out of their troubles. And for us this evening, in any matters of our troubles, we are to be brought to see that the only way out of them is through God. Be they providential things and things in our lives that we come across naturally, it is only he that can show us they are of our sin, and by a godly sorrow in our hearts that we need him to give us concerning that sin, and the grace to repent and turn from those sins. He can show the way of deliverance in himself, of a forgiving God, a gracious, long-suffering God. And so as he further speaks then of these warnings of how he would come to be against them in their sin, we begin to find here then how he speaks these wonderful promises of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with the great matter of death itself, where sin must bring us each then to the grave, and to be subject to divine order and justice, that because we have sinned then we must die. And so death must come in the body, but of course it speaks in a greater way than that. It is in the soul, an eternal banishment from the presence of the Lord. And thereby he addresses this in these words before us: I will ransom them from the power or hand of the grave, the influence that it has upon us, that which we cannot then deliver ourselves from. He alone can do so. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. As it seems to say at the end, it goes back on what it says in the beginnings. But it is to show that what God has proclaimed, he will not turn from it. It is sure, it is certain, it shall come to pass. And so as he has declared this, so he must do it. And what a blessing he has ever done it. He has been much more than an outward saviour then to the people that he calls his own, that we have so many deliverances written of in the Word of God. An inward spiritual saviour to them. Though their hearts were so weak and helpless, given his divine favour, given a new heart, a new spirit, they will be blessed with the gift by him of eternal life. So many of these things then are further revealed in the coming of the Lord Jesus, in the clear truths that he proclaimed, of such a love then, of such a God to not a national people, but a spiritual people. Yes, they were put together as a nation to show God's separating of his own people from the world and the things of it, the spirit of it, to show them they were no different in their hearts. They desired the things that their neighbours had, their nations around them, but he would set them apart as his people by working inwardly in them too. And thereby these blessings spoken here this evening, they speak of what is done in a spiritual way. For though a soul then be saved and must be saved by God's grace, yet it must be subject unto a natural death still, except the Lord first come, or in his own peculiar way then take one from the earth to heaven. God is a sovereign, but the word of God is clear. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But he is to meet his creator, his maker, beyond death. So likewise Christ then was once offered for the sins of his people, one offering needful, one offering sufficient. And thereby he comes again to that power and great glory to bring his eternal blessing. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Many times God had ransomed this people then from their enemies. It showed that he alone would deliver them. It was not in their might or their strength, in God's power it would be so. And as we read in the earlier verse, the Lord showing them their helplessness: O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. He is the only one to deliver or be the helper, to bring about this purchase then of the freedom of his people. The price then that is laid against us concerning our sin is verily eternal death itself, because having broken the commands that God has given, the law, the doctrine, the teaching, and gone against God and the truth of God, we cannot receive a blessing from it but come under its curse. Remember how that Moses was led of the Lord to set the law before the people of old, that in a keeping of it there was righteousness and a blessing. God will honour those who sought to walk in his fear, but to show them clearly that there was an insufficiency in them to do so, and they needed much to seek God's mercy, because in one part of it being broken, then they were all under its curse, which is eternal death. and God's hand would go out against them and destroy them. So it is for every one of us concerning of our own heart and soul. It is what the apostle writes to those in the epistle to the Romans, that the wages of sin is death. Not might or maybe, but is. And it is only of God's sparing mercy those wages have not yet been paid to us. We have earned them, and they could readily fall upon us to destroy us forever. Oh, what a long-suffering hand of the Lord displays. Because of that wondrous truth that follows it, which really emphasizes this here. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I will ransom them. This helpless, needy people that has destroyed themselves or delighted in the evil and earned them those solemn wages of sin. The punishment to be poured upon us. And in the measure of it, then the Lord lays an afflicting hand, a chastening hand, to speak through it. Their hearts might be touched in those circumstances. He gives then his call in his word to return. And where our hearts do not heed the word of calling in the word of God, then he may use other means to touch our hearts, our possessions, those things that he sees that are dear to us, that we think more of than God or the need of our soul, and has a perfect right to remove all them to show that this is he who has a deliverance to bring forth and reveal, and to show that in the appearing of his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this would so be graciously fulfilled. It's wonderful to see how the promises are given of the fullness of salvation so long before the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much to come out of this nation in due time, and the godly in the nation of course looked every day, as it were, for that appearing of the Messiah. Would it yet be born amongst them in this time? And so they went on in that pathway, but the Lord, in those mysterious purposes that our opening hymn was referred to, they knew how low he must bring them and take them into captivity, and seemingly be in complete disarray, that none of that line of David could exist anymore, which he carefully watched over and preserved, that they should be returning again to this land and established again in that national way. And though in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, much under the oppression of the Romans, appointed of the Lord, to show there was not a national glory in themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to bring a national deliverance to them in that way, but to emphasize, as he ever did, that his kingdom was not of this earth, but of heaven, of their soul. And that kingdom which has no end, and was not limited to just them then as the Jewish people, but whomsoever then God would call, whomsoever then he seals this blessing of his promise to, or ransom them from the power of the grave. Its claim upon us then as guilty lost sinners. However could that claim then be taken away, when it is full of accusation, full of condemnation, and thereby whoever could then take away that condemning force and power, and yet honour holiness and divine justice. I wonder then the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the speaker here through the prophet of what he would surely do, and therefore in his coming he could not fail to do so. And it is in that which he spoke then to those on that Emmaus road, when he said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Only he could say that ought, because he saw there was another way. He was purposed and covenanted to come. Having said this, and other truths also that speak in a prophetic way of the love in his heart to deliver his people, I will ransom them from the power of the grave, the hand. He has appointed it through divine justice as a holy God, that every sin must be punished, defeated, because it has come out of the wicked one, the devil, He is the enemy of God, has afflicted his influence upon mankind and brought them to be the enemies of God who created them. And yet the eternal purpose of God to show his love to his own people, he must put his love in their hearts, his heart within them, and give them a deliverance through himself from the death sentence that is upon us, the power of the wicked one within us, and to give the needful thing of the new heart and new spirit that we read of in Ezekiel's prophecy, later be proclaimed in the captivity time. What wondrous things would yet follow the times that they were in, when the Lord would still go on speaking through prophets to his people, and they would be encouraged in a day of darkness. The Lord has his word to be spoken through into the hearts of sinners, and to show that he has not forgotten his word that he has spoken, that he is a ransomer, the one who is paying the debt for his people. He must do so in coming to this earth then, and live a perfect life as a holy, spotless man, and be in every aspect like unto his own people, taking of flesh and blood in his sacred humanity, his glorious condescension, God himself appearing then in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. This is he who comes to this great purpose, to honour the law, to glorify his Father, to show that the commands and the teachings given were what they were meant to bring a blessing. And he, in keeping them, would bring forth a blessing from it, give an eternal righteousness to his people that only he could give them and only he could earn for them. So we would come right across in all the condemnation that is against dying sinners, in giving freely of that righteousness, but much more than laying down his own life in holiness and purity, and the false accusation and condemnation of hateful sinners, and yet in righteous condemnation of his people's sin that is seen in heaven, and that the dear Lord Jesus Christ knew that he had to suffer under. Oh, the glories of Calvary's cross. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. He must be subject then to death himself. And as Paul later wrote in the Epistle to the Hebrews to those believing Jews in their trial of their faith, to show that he would thereby destroy him that the power of death, that is the devil. And really in these truths that this speaks, and it speaks of the Redeemer and his ransoming work, the great wonder of love that he should bear the sin of his people unto death, not only in his death, in fulfilling the fullness of suffering under the sentence of death for them, but rising again from the dead, the glorious resurrection truth, I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. But though there is death because of sin naturally, yet this spiritual deliverance shows that though we must be laid in the grave in the body, yet it brings an end then of that claim of the grave upon the soul, because of the life of Christ given, views him in heaven who has risen from the grave, is come forth with God's power, and through that glory of God ascended into heaven, that he represents each one of his people there to bring them at last there safely, and to show forth in the face of the wicked one, O death, I will be thy plagues, that which will ever sound forth to show that it cannot ever destroy a soul that humbly hopes in the Lord Jesus. And as we come this evening, often we fear our faith is so feeble and helpless, and we have it stronger and clearer. And how can there be anything upon our side in the Word of God? Well, maybe view these things here this evening as proclaimed then of the Lord Jesus Christ in his prophetical way, showing that the extremity of that he has met himself, he has paid it to the uttermost. He is declared in the Hebrews to be an uttermost saviour, with a soul feeling to be so far away, so in the depths of debt and condemnation before the Lord. Or those that may be declared as Jerusalem sinners that even cry out, crucify him around the cross. So yet there is a mercy to be shown that such would yet be called to repentance in the Lord's own sovereignty. Or even that he, a dying thief, then quickened into life, was to be given a changed heart and a changed view of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon that centre cross, and seeing one here then that was in this truth before us, though he may not have been knowing this truth at all, but he was to come under the power of the Redeemer, or the near kinsman that could purchase the freedom then and deliver from the slavery, could view the debts of another family member, and having the riches to set them free from all their debtors, all those that he owed money to, to put that debt right, those who would not be harmed and be at a loss, and the one who was so greatly indebted should be set free. And all that setting free then does not leave that character then to go in its own way, because under the Spirit's power it is sanctified in the soul to see what a great debtor we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, his love and mercy. And I can ever repay that. But he does not require us to repay it. But he requires us then to lovingly follow him, to walk near unto him, to value that love that he has revealed in proclaiming this truth in a saving way into the soul, to see that here is our only hope then of eternal life and of eternal blessings in Christ Jesus, of heaven itself, through what the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he has done, the great I Am that says I will. And of course, in a gospel sense, we could say, he could say, I have ransomed thee from the power of the grave. He has fulfilled this work, he has declared it is finished. But nevertheless, blessed be God, the scripture still stands in its context to show that we need it revealed, that what he has declared he will do, he will surely do in a way of a gracious experience, a personal way. It's not just left as a doctrine for us to look upon and wonder what it can mean to us, but bring us into that felt need of it, and bring it yet as that petition of our hearts by faith. Lord, thou saidst, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Lord, they says, O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Do thou it for me. Or in that petition that is so powerful, do thou it for thy name's sake. There is no other ground upon which it will be done, can and shall be done, but for his great name's sake. He that repeats this, I will hear, it declares a great fullness in it. It's really be viewing those truths that the apostle was led to bring out in Romans 8 then, of no condemnation or accusation or separation. That in Christ Jesus there was a place of safety, a great fullness, a hiding, a fleeing to the refuge, one that must protect and deliver his dear people, and set them upon himself, the rock that he is, the unchanging one, the almighty one. Oh, redeem them from death, even in a death that we must each come to, and realize the utter weakness then of the body and the mind and spirit itself, yet in the soul he has declared his deliverance. He views the things that he has done, and it is in our hearts then by the Spirit then to be blessed with the assurance of that knowledge, that what he promises and speaks of here then he has graciously fulfilled for us personally, And we have come to acknowledge our sin in a personal way before him. A sin that we deserve to be cast out forever, and thereby forever under the power of the grave. Forever indeed under this destruction of the things of death itself. O grave, will be thy destruction. Or that the tomb that we must be laid in, or the earth that must take us again as the body returns to the earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and so forth. Oh, he will bring forth out of the grave. Claim his people to be in heaven with him. And show that it cannot have a hold upon us. Because the punishment has been met by himself, the payment made. And the punishment demanded, of course, of holiness and of justice is death. An eternal death, an eternal banishment from the Lord because of one of those sins and evils of our hearts, or about the multitude of them and the intensity of that which eternal hellfire bears out upon them, the ungodly, the careless, the indifferent, and those taken unawares then and cast out forever. But to the trembling living soul, he declares, I will redeem them from death, the power of the grave, the very claim that it has. He has answered the condemnation, the accusation, the condemnation that they that are in Christ Jesus have no condemnation. They are safe in this one, and this one only, that he is Son of God and Son of Man. Oh, that name of Jesus, a name of every other name. And he then who by his death answers the accusations. Who is he that condemneth? Oh, it is God that justifieth. Oh, he sees then the fullness of this truth. It is Christ that has died. Messiah himself has come. The I will in our text this evening has come, and he has died. Yea, and rather is risen again. Has been subject to death and shown it in that clear way. Has shown himself alive and one that is risen, having overcome death, conquered death, met the claims of death and showed himself above them to destroy it. And he's even at the ascended on high at the right hand of the throne of God. Not just one that has been living for a season and forgotten, but one who ever liveth in the heavens. Or as the Lord Jesus Christ then revealed himself to John in the Revelation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, in the one that is and that was and whatever will be, the Eternal One. I will redeem them from death. He has undertaken the ransom, he has finished the work, but he sends his Spirit then to reveal the redeeming merit and glorious power of it, to show there is a great fullness in it that cannot be exhausted. It will stand forever as that which delivers his people throughout an ever-ending eternity, that the claims of their sins can never be laid upon them, because the condemnation, the accusation has been laid upon the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And he, through his unspeakable love then, will never leave or neither forsake them, not cast them away. I'll redeem them from the grave. Oh, from all then that would come against us. O death, I will be thy plague. And in this really, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth has shown how that it seems at the beginning as if the devil had got the victory in afflicting then mankind with sin, showing there was yet in the heart of man then a proneness to wander, though in a perfection that God had given to be created in, to show that there is no fault in God's creation work, but viewed of him as he did as very good, that yet the wicked one was there to seek to undermine whatever he does. And in it the curse then laid upon the devil, that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, in that first promise then and hope of the man to come to bring this great deliverance that is needful. It declares here then, O death, I will be thy plagues. Hang over that solemn matter of death and a sin itself, that here is one that will swallow up that death in victory. Will meet the claims then of divine justice and be subject to death, when all others, of course, in a natural sense, are dying because of their sin. One would come in the holy perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of God and Son of Man, that God would come in the person of his Son to this earth, which truth the devil, of course, ever hates and seeks to destroy, the sacred humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Godhead of him, and that great wonder of his name, of Emmanuel, God with us, and he that has undertaken that to give a living hope in the soul of his people, and to be that plague unto death, that continual reminder that there is that day coming when it shall all be swallowed up by his great power, and all the forces of evil and of wickedness cast into that great lake of fire. And each of his dear people then gathered safely into his glory, and glorifying God forever, and thereby seeing that the wonders of grace saving sinners, and fit unworthy sinners, but loved with the everlasting love, in those great mysteries of the eternal God's love to sinners. O death, O will be thy plague, so grave will be thy destruction. It will be throughout the prophecies given in the Old Testament and the world as it continues to the coming of Christ, and this reminder that there was one coming yet to bring this great victory, fulfill this truth, and to meet out the blessing in every living soul. Everyone in me gives a new heart and spirit to. But come to that truth the Lord Jesus Christ proclaim, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit, born of the water. Of the Spirit's influence and the Word cleansing us, putting life within us from heaven. In every believing soul, the soul of the believer then, is another reminder of what a plague this is unto death. Because it is a soul saved from death. And death must be swallowed up then in this great victory, as the apostle was led to see this, and he wrote to those at Corinth in that 15th chapter, which speaks so gloriously then of resurrection, the certainty of it, and the great victory that is in it, even against all the fears then of a trembling soul that feels again and again that his sin is heart has sinned and gone backward, as heaped up more condemnation because we have known mercy and have felt love. And yet with the blessing, the truth before us cannot be altered. I will redeem them from death, from the fear of it, from the claim of it, because the claim then has been met by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is he that has died. His cry is finished. That word of the prophet Isaiah then has been fulfilled. He shall see the travail of his soul, shall be satisfied, shall see all is done. O death, I will be thy plagues, O grave, I will be thy destruction. At the deserved death then of his dear people eternally, he has met under his solemn sufferings. And such glorious promises and truths, then they emphasize all the more the wonder then of the suffering and dying of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. No wonder he has given us that ordinance then to remember all his broken body, his shed blood. The cost to himself as he bore the wrath of his Father, knowing the hearts of his dear people and their sins was being paid for in his great ransom. He was answering for them out of his riches of glory to give freely, even in such extreme suffering and unto death, knowing the weight of it upon his soul, the sweating of the great drops of blood in Gethsemane. Oh, how he declares in it there, no death, that will be thy plagues, O grave will be thy destruction. The Holy Ghost working the soul then is that further reminder beyond the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the church of God, or living witness to Christ, Christians of their name, or little Christs, these with the resurrection power in their hearts and lives, have been brought forth from death unto life, are a continual plague then unto death, because it has no eternal claim upon them. Oh, that we could feel that and view the wonder of it, be humble under the power of it, thereby glorify the Saviour for it. O grave, will be thy destruction. He has answered then all things for the fears of the trembling soul of his people. We see how justly we deserve then his arm to go out against us, his hand to chasten us and to cast us off forever. And to emphasize then the truth, he declares that repentance shall be hid from mine eye. So a glorious gift that God has given in the hearts of sinners to be turned about then from the evil and to be drawn unto him of his love. But in the power and nature of a holy God and an unchanging one, he cannot go back on what he has declared here. And he has shown clearly in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has not gone back upon it. And as surely he has come in the flesh and performed all things in the promises of this promise and of many others that go alongside of it, of his eternal love and blessing, with his own work of great salvation. So the Holy Ghost then will show that the same heart of the Lord then is not turned back from revealing the blessing and the power of these truths in our day and generation. Oh, the searching of our hearts as to why the Holy Ghost power is withheld and the clearness of truth is not seen by our souls. The longing for it in our hearts after it. But oh, what a certainty he puts with it, and repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Yes, declare that those sins are cast forever behind his back. He views them not anymore. He views the sacrifice of his dear Son. The blood of Christ, it cleanseth from all sin, it washes it away. It shows that there has been a death already, and therefore there is not need of another death in the soul of his people. The punishment has been meted out. That was the representation given to the Israelites when they come out of Egypt in that final plague of the smiting of the firstborn. That the destroying angel viewed the blood, there was a death already in that household. There would not need to be another one. They were spared by the offering of the Paschal Lamb, the type of Christ to them. It's one redeeming them from death, ransoming them from the power of the grave. Those ignorant Egyptians, not having this knowledge, or if they did, they had not the mind to do the thing that was right. And we read of it being by faith or by that humble trust in the Lord that what was done, they were to be within when it was done, and the blood of course without on the doorpost and lintel, the door being shut, they could not see it anymore. But the trust that the Lord had put it there in helping them to do so, but their safety was not in what they had done, it was in the Lord who would see it. And of course there was a need for them to be led to do what was commanded them. And what a blessing the Lord fulfilled his word that he declared that when I see the blood, and surely as we have that word in Exodus, then we have it to emphasize this truth before us, that repentance shall be hid from mine eyes, that he will see the blood of the sacrifice. He views the dear Lamb of God in heaven, the Lamb as it were slain, the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the throne amongst his people, interceding for them as it were upon the earth, showing the certainty of their safety for those in heaven. That everlasting glory of his is theirs also. And there is yet that more to be shown throughout the glories of eternity. Which really words of course cannot express for the wonder and the glory of them. But oh, for the blessed truth here in the present to be brought to us then in this wilderness place that we are in. Oh, may it be manna to our hearts. May it be heavenly food that God sends to show that he honours the word that he has spoken. He's come and fulfilled it. and he will honour it by giving his Spirit to bring the blessing of it. I will redeem them from death. The merit of it shall not be forgotten, but must be poured out wherever he will. Must be received into each of the souls of his people, saving to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. It is a gospel of hope, full of gracious hope here in what he is declaring. And oh, may it be with that hope to us. And why, my soul, why not for thee? Oh, what is it in our soul that we feel that is far beyond this? Oh, may the Spirit show to us each as individuals, oh, how wretched our hearts are, how solemn our sin is. But here is a great fountain of grace and love and mercy, an ocean fullness of love, to swallow up then the greatness even of our sin, because it cometh from the greatness of God himself. Oh, it's a great wonder that we need to be made with power to our hearts. Lord, deny it not to us. Do thou reveal it to me. What I see not, show thou me. What poor ignorant fools we are in these truths. But how glorious the God to speak them. And may he graciously then apply them. Bring them personally into each of our hearts. Where I need my soul, what you need in your soul, that we should be blessed eternally. Oh, may we give him no rest, but wrestle on, except he bless us, we will not let him go. And oh, may we be like dear Jacob, and to prove that he will bless. He has the blessing to give. May God abundantly bless then this word and forgive all that is amiss. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together part of hymn number 88. Part of hymn 88 to the tune of Breslau 307. How wondrous are the works of God, displayed through all the world abroad, immensely great, immensely small. Yet one strange work exceeds them all. Almighty God, sighed human breath, the Lord of life, experienced death. How it was done, we can't discuss, but this we know, 'twas done for us. Hymn number 88, singing the first verse, then from verse 5 through to verse 8 inclusive. Tune Breslau 307.
gracious Lord, in thy mercy, forgive and pardon all that have seen amiss within us this evening in our discourse upon the word of God and in the things that we have attended in thy name. But do bless the word of God abundantly. O Lord, do bless the truth of redeeming love to each of our souls and give us the possession of it, we pray. Keep us safely now as we journey homeward. Bless those that disconnect from the service at home and be with each throughout the night. Grant a good night's rest in due time, we pray thee. And that eternal rest in thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, may thy grace, Lord Jesus, and the love of God the Father and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us forever. Amen.